Scripture reading for today comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in the second verse. These are the things you are to teach and insist on. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind, who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means of financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in so doing have departed from the faith. Grace be with you all.
Thanks, Preston. Good morning, everyone. I get the wonderful honor of being able to finish off the letter of 1 Timothy for us. So how about our leaders in prayer? Father, we give you praise today that you are with us. And Father, we pray that as we hear your words, Father, you might impress it upon our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine if you won. Imagine if you won. You would never have to worry about having enough to live on ever again. Never have to worry. You could put your energy into work that you actually love. Think of the people you could help if you won. That dream destination you've always wanted to go to, you now can. I wonder whether you thought I was talking about winning the lottery. I wouldn't blame you if you did. I think I would probably have thought about the same thing if I heard those words. No, I'm actually just talking about the key verse for today. You see, the key verse for chapter 6, you find in verse 6, it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. If we grasp this today, the lottery is gonna seem like nothing compared to what we gain. Today's passage, we're gonna hear God convincing us that godliness with contentment is great gain, and he'll do that by showing us that, firstly, the love of money is a trap, Secondly, the great gain is eternal life. And thirdly, true enjoyment comes from true hope. So those are the three things we're going to have a look at. It's reflected in the outline that's found in your leaflets when you came in. Well, all the way through this letter, Paul the Apostle has been uncovering the hypocrisy and lies that are infiltrating God's church. Paul has been writing, verse 3, the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ, and there are those who are teaching otherwise. When they reject the truth of Jesus, they show their true character. They are, verse 4, conceited and understanding nothing. See, they're not focused on Jesus, focused on pleasing him. What they were focused on is themselves. They were trying to work out how to please themselves. All they do is to stir up trouble between people in verse 5. They've got their ball of trouble, and they're mixing in a little bit of envy, a dash of strife, a sprinkle of MSG. You know what MSG is? That's the malicious sour grapes into their bowl. Some spicy evil suspicions, and they're just kind of like mixing it all in. And what do we get? Verse 5, constant friction between people of corrupt mind. Man, what do you think about that kind of community? That'd be really awful, wouldn't it? You walk into a room, and one person is eyeing you up and down with jealousy. Another would be whispering rumors in your ear. And before long, you might be joining in with the disdain and the slander. That's horrible. Something we didn't hear previously is what was really motivating the false teachers and all their deceit. Verse 5, they think that godliness is a means to financial gain. That's what they've wanted all along. It was money. I wonder how they thought they were going to get all that money. I mean, perhaps they were a bit similar to the Corinthian church, and they were peddling the word of God for gain, for monetary gain. Or perhaps they were skimming from the collections taken for widows and vulnerable people, trying to get rich that way. We don't know, but they were putting on godliness to get it, which is no godliness at all. And yet, whilst they think they're trapping others in their web of lies, and they were, it was actually they themselves who were the ones being caught. Verse 9, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. See, they might have wanted endless pleasure, but what they got instead was utter ruin. They may have sought status, but what they received was destruction. Perhaps it was security that they were craving after. Instead, what they got was debilitating worry. Verse 10 tells us why it's a trap. It says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." See, the kind of love that should only be directed to God alone, what they did was they gave it over to money, which meant that they gave up trusting in God and instead put their faith in money. Now, that kind of godlessness has led them to all kinds of evil. For if God is no longer their master, then actually what steps into place is actually themselves. They end up doing what they thought was worthwhile. That kind of living only ends with many griefs. I came across this safety brochure from the Northern Territory government. I don't know whether you've ever seen this. You should probably read this if you ever want to go visit the Northern Territory. It's called Be Croc Wise, right? Be Croc Wise. It says, "How do I stay safe in areas with saltwater crocodiles?" I just think it's one of the most Australian things you can ever write, is how to be croc wise. How do I stay safe in areas with saltwater crocodiles? I would have thought that the answer was don't visit places with saltwater crocodiles, but that's not what they got. They went to here. No, that wasn't in the brochure. Instead, it's things like always keep a watch for crocodiles. Well, duh. I love how the next sentence is the best bit. It says, they will see you before you see them. Whew. It says, never feed crocodiles. Yeah. I love how the reasoning behind this is because it's illegal. Not because your arm might end up being on the menu. How about this? Avoid approaching the edge of the water and don't paddle or wade at the edge of the water. So I take it that if you swim a little bit deeper, then it should be okay. My personal favorite, the smaller the boat, the greater the risk. I'm not going anywhere near the edge of the Northern Territory. You think about this for a minute. The love of money is like a crocodile waiting in the shallows to sink its teeth into your arm. Stay vigilant. Verses 3 to 10 are bookmarked by this evil living, the kind of with the love of money at its heart. And right at the center of the verses, though, there is this central truth that's really being highlighted. It's our central verse, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. You see, in total contrast to the constant friction between lovers of money, there is this settled and godly contentment. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, that gains us tremendously. Being content with what God has provided, that means we are ahead compared to any person who hoped for financial gain from fake godliness. Remember chapter 4, where it talks about how godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come? It's talking about the same thing. I think it's somewhat of an understatement. I hope you can appreciate. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It's like saying being content as the son of the richest person on earth is great gain. It's not just great gain. It's ridiculously huge, out of this world, rich beyond all comprehension, gain. Verse 7 tells us why it is great gain. And it's got to do with what we can't keep. It says, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. See, all that money you might accumulate, you can't take any of it. You can't take any of it with you when you die. Your bank balance, you leave it behind. Your shares, you leave that behind. Your house, left behind. Your jewelry, your gold watches, not allowed in your carry-on. Your designer bags, designer clothes, it might as well be designer garbage because it need to be placed into the bins at the security check. You can't bring any of that with you. And then you look at verse 8. Verse 8 describes someone who knows they can't bring anything with them. It says, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. You know, the basic necessities to keep us alive. Don't chase after the things you can't keep. Be content with what you need. I looked up Proverbs chapter 30:7-9, and it's printed out in your leaflets there. And it's a prayer by the proverb writer that displays this kind of godliness and contentment, godliness with contentment. I wonder, as we read this, whether you be brave enough to pray this prayer yourself. This is what it says. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God. Do you hear what was most cherished by this proverb writer? Can you see that it is the Lord himself that he cherishes above all else? And if anything would threaten that, he would rather not have it, even if it is riches. Do you think you'd be brave enough to pray that prayer? The love of money is just as much a trap today than it was before. People are still lured into its lies, and there are lies. You don't have to go very far. You just have to scratch beneath the surface and you see the real stories of those who want to be rich. Casinos are filled with people in ruin. Lottery winners don't live happily ever after. The richest of people in the world are not the most fulfilled people in the world. The news that tell of the squabbles of children because of the inheritance that they want. The love of money is still the root of all kinds of evil. I think one of the more subtle traps is the one that says that you have to be rich to fall into that trap. Note that it doesn't say the rich with money is the root of all kinds of evil. It says the love of money, which means that we can fall into that trap even when we are poor. So whether it be that, you know, some of us might be on government support, or, you know, we're university students and we don't really have an income at all, well, this applies to us still. We can still fall into that trap. Another subtlety with this trap is thinking that it's only about money, when actually it's all about the things that we might crave after that is greater than God. It could actually be your belongings. It could actually be the things that you have. Have you heard this version of the trap? The more I earn, the more I get to give to church. Have you heard of that one? I've seen versions of this where, yes, they actually follow through. I actually give the money away to places and people who need it more and share their income. But I've seen far too many examples where they say that, and actually what happens is that they keep the money for themselves. It's a trap. It's a trap. Godliness with contentment is great gain, because the love of money is a trap. The second thing we'll look at is that the great gain is eternal life. We see this through what Timothy is instructed to focus on as a man of God. For if Timothy is to persevere in godliness with contentment, just listen to the gain he receives. In verse 11 it says, "But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." See, in total contrast to the ball of quarrels and constant friction, his heart is to be gripped by God. He is to flee the ungodliness, run away like your life depends on it, training himself in right living before God, strengthening that core that's centered on Jesus, exercising that faith, that deep dependence upon his Lord and Savior, working out that endurance because it's a marathon, not a sprint, gentleness with members of the family of God. I mean, this picture of God's family is just beautiful. He is to take hold of the eternal life to which he was called. I think this is the gain. I think this is the gain that comes from godliness with contentment. An eternity with no conceit, no ruin, no evil, no envy, no griefs, but forever in the presence of Jesus, who saves us, sustains us, and gives us great joy. We never have to worry about having enough or missing out on enjoyment or feeling like we're insignificant. We have all that by the bucket load through Jesus. See, whilst we can't take any of the world's trinkets with us, we can take eternal life with us. Notice here it doesn't say earn that eternal life. God says take hold of it. Because if we already trust in Jesus, we already have it. I think it seems we need to be reminded to take up what we already have and just enjoy it. I don't know whether you've ever seen someone at a new restaurant, but they hadn't realized it was one of those restaurants that's an all-you-can-eat buffet. Never been to an all-you-can-eat buffet before, and they walk in, And all that time wondering how much it was going to cost as they take their plate around to the buffet and they're placing items on their plate one by one, thinking, oh, I wonder whether that's going to cost $5 or $6 every time I put that on the plate. And then the light goes on. And suddenly they start heaping up all this food on their plate until they realize it's a buffet. You can actually go back for more. You don't actually have to overfill your plate. The delight in their eyes when they comprehend just how much was available to them. Friends, we as brothers and sisters in the household of God, we have access to the riches of eternal life. But I see too often how people just don't see how much we are blessed with. But I totally love it. I love watching the eyes of people light up when they actually understand it and comprehend it for the first time. If Timothy is to keep his sights on Jesus, just check out what he sees. He sees the giver of all life, verse 13, in the sight of God who gives life to everything. He sees Jesus, who is God's anointed king, Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. This is Jesus who wasn't ashamed to declare who he was, even though he was in front of people who would kill him. Well, Timothy is not to be ashamed either. He is to confess that Jesus is the Christ, just as his Lord Jesus did. He is to discharge his duties with hope, verse 14, to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus will come soon to bring judgment on the world and to save his people. You see, this great gain of eternal life is one that delights in the giver of life. It delights in God's anointed king, delights in the fact that he will return soon. And just in case we haven't grasped the privilege and utter honor of having God for us, hear this, verse 15. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal, and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. There is this appropriate fear and reverence that we have of God when we hear that. To approach the unapproachable, and yet not to be obliterated by his light and his might. That is all of grace. You know, I think we truly, really get what God is saying in this passage when we grasp just how rich we are in Jesus. I think it's only then that the money and the wealth don't have the same pull on us. So the very best thing we can do is actually to spend time enjoying it each day. Each day, enjoy recounting what Jesus has done for us. Each day, thank God for the eternal life he has won for us. Sing to God in reverence about who he is, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Let it fill you and satisfy you and fill your tank. And for those of us who aren't Christian in this room, I want you to see this is how we break the chains of evil that the love of money puts on us. And if you ever get to the point where you are just sick of it, sick of those chains, then turn to Jesus. We would love to show you how. We've been hearing from God's word that godliness with contentment is great gain, because the love of money is a trap. And the great gain is eternal life. Now we're going to see how true enjoyment comes from true hope. Timothy is to give some commands to the rich, both for their sake, but also I think for those who are around them as well. Verse 17, it says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. I kind of wonder whether this verse doesn't quite make sense to some of us. You know, when you read that, the logic can sound like this, right? God provides us with everything for our enjoyment. what I enjoy is wealth. So if we put our hope in God in a certain way, then he will bless us with a Ferrari. That's what I call getting a Ferrari in three steps. It's really the kind of logic that kind of betrays where our hope, well, truly is in. Because it's not in God, but in wealth and ourselves. Our hope is to be in God, yes, what he provides, which in greatest measure is eternal life. That's what gives us the greatest enjoyment. And yes, he does also give us things in this world to enjoy, even including the shiny things that we might see in this world. But can you see that if our hope is in God, we will be content with the basics of food and clothing instead of chasing after more and more? True enjoyment comes from a true hope in God. You see, the logic of God's family is like this. Our hope is in God. He provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And so we live with his provisions in contentment and constant thankfulness to him. You see that logic? Very different to the first logic. We get a clearer sense of what this kind of life looks like in verse 18. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. If our hope is truly in God, then instead of being rich with money, we are rich in good deeds. The kind that is generous with what God provides. Our enjoyment will be in our sharing with others. Verse 19 shows us the treasure that we can take with us out of this world. It says, in this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Life that is truly life. Friends, that's what we got. You know all the counterfeit kind of lives out there? It's fake. You want to see life that is truly life. We just heard about it here. I think there's a little irony here, though. Can you see, though, that the more that you give away, the more you lay up treasure for yourselves? I presume that it's because when you do this, it crystallizes what does go with us out of this world, life that is truly life, life that is eternal. If the love of money is a trap, then this is the freedom that comes from the love of God, where we grasp what true life really is. I remember getting a call from a friend overseas with a bit of a special request. He knew a couple in his church who wanted to get married, but one of them was a convert from Islam. And they didn't feel safe getting married in their country. And so the request was to come over here, whether they could come over here and whether I could marry them in this building. So I got the privilege of sharing our resources with them. I bet you never thought that your giving for, you know, the things of this church would actually help with that kind of thing. Well, it did in this case. I got the privilege of sharing our resources with them, our building, the house of one of our members to live in, our food, our transport. You know, for the rest of their days, because they've returned back to that country, they will always be on guard, never knowing whether or not they're going to be in trouble or not. They weren't well off at all. But if you could only see their eyes, if you could only see their eyes, what you would see is they felt truly rich. They're an example to me of ones who know what true life really is. If true life is the gain, or eternal life is the treasure, then we can see why Timothy is told to, verse 20, guard what has been entrusted to his care. Those who teach this false knowledge is threatening to take true life away from people, and God will not stand for that. Well, compared to the majority of the world's population, I hope you can see that we are the rich ones. particularly when none of us have to worry about where our next meal is coming from or having enough clothes to last the night. That's not true for quite a large swathe of people around the world. So hear the command of God. Don't be arrogant, nor put your hope in wealth, but put your hope in God. Hear God's command to be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. Here are some of the examples of opportunities for that sharing and good deeds. Outside, at the welcome table, you'll always find a box. That box is actually for food donations so that it can go to partner places like Westcare so that it can help people who are doing it rough around the streets. That's what that's there for. Every time you see that box, have a think about what is it that you might like to be able to share with the people around us in our community. There are other aid agencies like Compassion that seek to care for third world children and their communities. There's also the informal, you know, the everyday needs that come across us. You know, people who couldn't afford to pay for their church lunch, or people who don't own a car because they can't afford one and they need to cart around their belongings because they had to move place. Or people who found themselves destitute because, well, their landlord basically kicked them out because they're trying to sell their house and they have no place to go. Would you share your resources, your car, your house, your money? One opportunity in particular is the need of people in Asia to hear the gospel. The need of people in Asia to hear the gospel. That's where D&T are, if you know who I'm talking about. They are still only 50% funded. So there is a humongous opportunity right there. If you ever wondered about, you know, where it is that you might like to share your money so that people from across the oceans can hear the gospel, but also the communities might be supported, well, that's a worthy cause right there. You want more information about that? Let us know. We'll give you the details. Godliness with contentment is great gain, because the love of money is a trap. The great gain is eternal life, and there is true enjoyment from true hope. There was a woman who won a treasure hunt in Westfield. Have you ever heard of a treasure hunt in Westfield? That's where you get 10 minutes with a shopping trolley to take all you can from any shop that you want. You would have thought that she'd head to the jewelry store, like that'd be the first stop, or JB Hi-Fi, or to that sleek EV vehicle that's sitting in the middle of the mall. Like, you know, you can just put the stuff straight into the boot. But no, she walked past the shiny necklaces. She ignored the huge TVs. She wasn't even taken by the curves of the car. Instead, what she does is she walks into Haig's Chocolates. What are you doing in there? Haig's Chocolates. And she starts taking all the gift hampers and putting it into a trolley. And then she told the staff with the remaining minutes that she had, can you just take all the chocolates and just bag them all up because I just want more gift hampers. Places them all into a trolley and strolls out. It turns out that the gift hampers were for the hospital staff who saved her life not 1 week ago. See, nothing in Westfield came anywhere close to the treasure of regaining her life. Brothers and sisters, we have the greatest life of all. We have eternal life. Life with our Savior. Life with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Life with the one who has sustained you thus far, and he can sustain you up to eternity. We have the greatest treasure of all. My prayer is that it is this eternal life that shines brighter than anything that we can buy. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we come before you now, and there are a lot of shiny things around us. Lots of things that look really attractive. Lots of things that can just pull our gaze away from Jesus. But Father, we see the life that you give us. Thank you for speaking those words to us. And Father, we pray that its glory, its brightness will be that which outshines everything. And we pray that we might pray that prayer, that you'd give us not more than we need, not less than we need, because Father, it is you whom we cherish, and we don't want anything that's going to threaten that. So Father, we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.